that we may see the Christ in each other. And so we relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our ears, O God, that we may hear your word, and that word would influence our lives. Open our lips, that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. This Lent, we are discussing the five marks of mission. Five characteristics of the mission of the church and the mission of each one of us as disciples of Christ, given to us by the Anglican Consultative Associate Council, part of the administration of the Anglican Communion. And these five marks have been reduced to five words. We are called as disciples of Christ to tell, to teach, to tend, to transform, and to treasure. Today we focus on the second of these five marks of mission. As Anglicans, as disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ in today's world, we are called to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. To teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. And of course, we can recognize those words as coming from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19. That part of Matthew's Gospel that is referred to as the Great Commission. Jesus tells his disciples, just as he is about to leave them to descend to the Father, he says to them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." So that the disciples, that is, of course, all of us today, we have a mandate to make disciples. And that involves baptizing them, teaching them, and nurturing them as new believers. And so we have to understand that baptism brings individuals into the fellowship of the church. By our baptism, we are affirmed as children of God, inheritors of the kingdom of heaven, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. However, a disciple is much more than simply a member of the church who possesses the Holy Spirit. The disciple is called to be like the Master. And to be like the Master, we must know Christ. We must not simply know about Jesus. We must have a personal experience of his presence with us in the Holy Spirit. And so the disciple has to be taught. And since discipleship is a lifelong journey, the disciple must also be a lifelong learner. We could never know enough about Jesus. We can never know and understand enough about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so not only as disciples must we be prepared to teach, to share what we know with others, but as disciples of Christ, we too must always be open to being taught, to learning more and more about this Savior of the world whom we are called to follow. But today we are being reminded that we, even though we may not feel that we know enough, we are called to teach others, to teach those who will know less than we do. And so, as teachers, we are called to impart knowledge and skills and attitudes and moral and spiritual values. And the spiritual values that we are called to teach must be those of Christ. The spiritual values that we are called to teach would be the values that Christ taught that we would find in the Gospels, in the Sermon on the Mount, for example, in that prayer that Jesus prays for his disciples in the Gospel of John. We will find those teachings of Jesus as we study the Gospels. And so we, as Paul would say, we become mature in our faith. So we are no longer feeding on milk, we are feeding on heavy spiritual food. But even as we learn ourselves, we have this responsibility to share our knowledge. Even as we go through our journey as disciples of Christ, and we begin to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and with us, we are called to share those experiences with others. And so it is important for us to acknowledge that we cannot teach what we don't know. And therein lies our obligation to ourselves and to others to spend the time, quality time, in prayer, communing with God, speaking to God and allowing God to speak to us, allowing the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in us to touch our hearts and our lives. We have to be prepared as we equip ourselves to teach and to nurture new disciples. We have to be prepared to spend quality time not just reading, but studying our Bibles, understanding that the Bible is the Word of God and the Word from God. And that means that God's Word, God can speak to us through those words in the pages of the Bible. We have to believe that. So when we read a portion of the Bible and we sit there in silence and we reflect on it, we must ask ourselves the question, what is God saying to me in this? And we must remember the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55. God says, my word does not return to me until it has accomplished its purpose. So we need to understand that when we choose that passage that we will study today, or if we are following a daily program, when we reach to that passage which we are called to study today, it didn't come there by accident. There is a purpose why we are studying that particular passage today. Because God has something to say to us where we are in our journey of life today through those words. And that is what Paul means when he says that we have to live by faith and not by sight. We have to believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, is with us and guiding us through this maze that we call life. And so when we take the time to be in touch with God, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to direct us, to support us, to give us that spirit of hope, that spirit of perseverance that enables us to go out day by day and face the challenges of life without giving up. And so, because we have this responsibility to teach others, it makes our responsibility to ourselves greater, because we want to have something to teach. We want to have experiences of God in our lives that we can share and that we can say to others, this is what happened to me. This is what I experienced. And therefore, if I could experience it, then you too can do the same. And so we are called not only to just live our lives as disciples for ourselves, we have to help others to do the same. And this helping others to become disciples must not be an accidental, offhand activity. In our family day, the bishop reminded us that as part of the Anglican Communion, the province of the West Indies has accepted the challenge of being intentional disciples and disciple makers. So, the way we live as disciples of Christ must be intentional. It must be deliberate. We must understand what it means to be a disciple, and we must strive to live that life. And in living that life, we are required to influence others to become disciples themselves. So we must not only talk about the good news in Christ, we have to live it. We have to understand that actions always speak louder than words. And so it is no point hearing or reading about the story of the Good Samaritan and not reaching out to others in need. When we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see that Jesus did not stay in the temple and wait for the people to come to him. Jesus went out into the highways and byways, exercising his gifts in teaching and preaching and healing and helping people to experience God's love. And that is the master we are called to follow. As adults in the church, as parents and godparents, we are called to use our gifts to bring a knowledge of Christ to others, to help others to come to know Christ and to commit themselves to serving him in the world. we are called to teach. And as the last verse of our psalm this morning says, so that generations yet unborn will know the wonderful works of God. Generations yet unborn will know that God so loved the world, that God so loved all of us, that God so loved God's creation, that God will give God's one and only Son to die that we might live. But the mandate is much more than just teaching. As disciples of Christ, we are called to go further and nurture new believers. And the word nurture is a very interesting word. It means to care for, to protect, to look after. You know, when you put a seed in the ground and you're serious about your plants, you go out day by day to water it, to mold it up, to see if there are any insects attacking it. But that is nurturing. And just as we are called to nurture our children, those gifts that God has given us, we are called to nurture new believers. And so as mature Christians, we are called to journey with them. You know, we nurture and take a good care of our children. We prepare them to leave us. So we share our values with them. We share our beliefs with them so that when they grow up and they leave us, we know that they have a sure and strong foundation. But that is what we are also called as adults in the church, as mature Christians, to do for others, to do for those new brothers and sisters that we will meet. We have to nurture them, because we understand that, of course, this journey to the world as a Christian is a very hazardous journey. There are many temptations. There are many false teachings, as Paul reminds us. And of course, we have itching ears. We want to hear what we want to hear. We don't want anything to be really challenging for us. And so there is a lot of danger. There are a lot of instances where new believers could be sidetracked and fall by the wayside. And so we have to nurture them until they're able to stand on their own. We have to nurture those who are young in the faith until they understand about the presence of God and as the Holy Spirit with them. Until they are able, as Paul always reminds us, until they are able to live by faith, like Abraham was able to live by faith and not by sight. So, in addition to teaching, we are called to journey with those new believers. We have to go the extra mile. We have to be able to be examples to them of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. So like Jesus on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, we have to so understand our faith that we will live that faith, and we will also be able to help others just as Jesus did, beginning in the Old Testament and going on to the New Testament, help people who who are young in the faith to come to know and experience God in Christ through the Holy Spirit for themselves. Of course, many of us will be thinking, well, that is a real enormous task that I am called to do. I didn't know that I could do that. I don't have the gift of teaching. I don't know enough about the Bible. But we must understand that God, in God's love, has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have God as a powerful resource as we are called to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. And that resource is the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus would tell his disciples, when you are brought before potentates and kings, and you are called to talk about your faith, do not worry what you will say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. As long as we have the will, as long as we open our hearts to God, and we desire to respond in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will lead us and tell us what to say. So we do not have to be afraid. We do not have to feel that this task is beyond us, because we have the assurance that God is with us. And the Holy Spirit will help us to do the task that we have to do as disciples of Christ in today's world. What we have to understand is that the task is important. It is necessary. All you have to do is to take up the newspaper every day and realize that there are thousands of people, particularly young people, who have not yet heard this message in an age where we have instant communication. Every time you see the newspapers engaging in counting the number of murders, that should remind us that we are not doing this task of teaching and baptizing and nurturing new believers. Every time we read about violence in the home, abuse of children, these robberies that are becoming, where the robbers are becoming bolder and bolder every day, those things should remind us that we have this task to do for God. And so we have to understand that it is necessary, it is important, and it is not left to others. We have a part to play because we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves disciples of Christ. So as we reflect on this challenge that our church has given us to teach, to baptize and nurture new believers, I want to echo a prayer that is said in the service of ordination of priests. Almighty God, who has called you to do all these things, give you also the grace and power to perform them, that he may complete the work which he has begun in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we pray that God, who has called us to do this task, will also give us the grace and power to do it. The Lord be with you.